This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
You missed that nugget yesterday.
I got some Bluetooth if anybody needs it. Yeah. I won't call any names.
And then he doubled back and he said it again. We didn't even respond. We just started cheering.
Steiner.
We just started cheering.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe he said it.
And I just couldn't get it up.
Oh, man.
Yeah. He's talking about a Christmas tree.
Oh, okay.
Sure you were.
And by the way, go ahead. I got it up yesterday, though.
Yeah, I did.
So you're a Tuesday guy.
I took Mark Willard's advice. Going up on a Tuesday. And somebody texted in yesterday about the mallet, and I did use a rubber mallet hammer it in.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, that's cool.
The crossover, ladies and gentlemen, is brought to you by Abundant Life Weight Loss. They know the secret to losing up to 1 pound of fat every day. Go to AbundantLifeWeightLoss.com.
Real quick, this is the crossover. I wasn't here yesterday. Fake or real tree?
Real.
We grew up on a fake one. Nothing wrong with the fake one.
But your answer was both, Steiny.
Yeah. We have a fake one in our one, in our flam.
In your corridors.
I got two of them.
In his foray.
He's got a reel in the front, in the picture room, in the great room, they would call it. Reel in the great room with the vaulted ceilings, and then fake in the more trafficked area.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I grew up with a reel. And then as I became an adult, I realized that the fake, and I don't like that term, but for conversational sake, it's so much easier to, are you ready for the Christmas tree? Let me go to the garage.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah. And then, you know, you go out there and you open up the box and then boop, 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 and it's up in 12 minutes.
Hopefully we all live long enough to be like my parents who have also an artificial tree, but are now debating whether or not they even need to put that up.
Why? No, they got to put it up.
Why?
Tell Tom to put it up.
Why? It's in the garage. It's heavy. They can't move and no one's coming over.
It's symbolic. You made it another year.
Yep.
Put it up.
I think they're making
I'll call them for you.
No, they're going to, you know, we'll scoop them up and bring them to my sister's house for the actual day.
Yep.
Just sit down, mom and dad. Relax. It's fine.
Pretty fun to watch my son and, you know, in this day and age.
Quest.
And you find out via social media, but I saw Quest's Instagram post and he has his first Christmas tree.
Now that
as an adult.
Did you tear up?
It's an artificial. Uh-oh. Well, I teared up and then I looked at his living room and it's the only thing in the living room. And he, you know, typical 23-year-old. And I've been to his apartment. He's got a nice little two-bedroom with his good friend.
That's dope.
Empty boxes turned over.
Dude, no doubt.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
Huh? Berkeley? Emeryville.
Emery.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. He's got a nice little spot in good little not quite gated spot. Yeah. It's right there where Oakland and Emeryville and Berkeley all kind of come together, the confluence.
Okay.
Much like in Pittsburgh, the Three Rivers, there's a spot in the East Bay where Emeryville, Berkeley, and Oakland all kind of come together, and that's kind of where he is. Not to give out his address.
You know the area I've always been fascinated by? Kensington.
Oh, it's awesome.
What's going on in Kensington?
Action. action. If you are a single man looking for a 78-year-old widow,
oh boy.
Hi, I'm Dan Dibley.
Sounds like you should go there, Scott. Right, the problems that you've been experiencing.
Hey.
Three things about Kensington.
It's like a little borough. It's a little, what do they call it? An enclave.
It's an enclave.
Yes.
It's an outcropping of Berkeley. Three things about Kensington. All true. Two cool. One not so cool.
Right.
Kensington Circus Pub. Outstanding bar with a corner of like toys for kids.
Oh.
So you bring your kid and
what's
it's like
the population.
Go play. Number two, Landmark Pizza. 5 out of 5 stars.
Okay.
Number three, that's where Zechariah's from.
Yeah, and that I knew they got a home still up there. They go to their little
cabin. I saved the punchline for last, of course.
So it's
that's Guru's former partner.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah. Anyway.
I wasn't here yesterday, and I want to just, I need your two, I know his thoughts. Real quick, can we just do a rewind?
Do whatever you want. Reset. It's not
so
two yet.
You brought up social media, and you defended Debo, so I don't want to give away where I'm at with it. But Willard, Dibs, I was offended that he sent out that tweet because you can't do that, one, after a win. Two, you got rabbit ears to social media. Why are you even saying that? And three, then you put it out.
Ends in media. I don't think he's frustrated with, but that's just my interpretation, and I could be wrong. So I don't think it's a big deal.
Mike Martz didn't like it, the former coach.
Nobody likes it. Okay. Yeah, Mark Schlereth came on yesterday and fired on Debo after this. He did not like it at all. So the question I'd asked him was, as a teammate, how would you feel about this?
And he
went after him. So. You know, we had a conversation yesterday about whether it's been a good leadership year for Debo because he's a leader. He's a leader on this team, and I don't think it's been a great leadership year for him. Again, it's not a huge deal. It's just a tweet. But
after a win, will you score 40?
Yeah, this is what I said. If I were sitting next to Debo, I'd ask him, okay, what'd you get out of that? What did you get out of sending that tweet?
What if he says vindication? People don't know that this is why I'm not doing it like I used to.
Yeah, but
that's what he said.
I don't think he got vindication because then he deleted it. So if he feels vindicated, you're going to leave that up forever. You're going to put a frame around and put it on your wall. So all he did was welcome in negative attention, bring about questions with regard to his teammates. I'm sure those are unintended consequences, but they're consequences.
Wow,
they still count.
Yeah, and he's down a half a touch from last year as far as him not getting the ball.
Oh.
He's getting about 6 touches a game. Last year he was at 6.5. So it's really not that.
But now 5 of them are coming in the way of a running back. Let's just put the right on the – it's not downfield, the touches.
Right. Well, last game it was downfield. The opening catch he had was a 20-yard pass catch where he ran a deep in and he came back to the ball and he got it. And it was great. And then the other ones – one of the ones that I was highlighting yesterday was he was in the backfield and they gave it to him. They pulled Dominic Pooney on a designed run and Pooney missed the block. And the linebacker fired right through Pooney and blew him up for no gain. And you could see Debo kind of drop the shoulders a little bit like, man, the one time I do get the ball, y'all can't even block for me. I do think that the tweet was more aimed at Kyle and Brock than it was at the fans because Kyle's not designing plays for him. And we'll have Greg Cosell later today, and that's one of my questions for Greg is, when you look at the film and you look at what Brock did, 20 for 25, he was able to get whatever he wanted
everywhere
all game long, but that didn't really involve Debo.
Who, real quick, Stoney, by all accounts, if I had a dollar for every time somebody said this since the Super Bowl, has problems against man coverage. Like, that's what I wanted the tweet to be about.
I don't know if he has problems against man coverage. He has problems being a traditional wide receiver against man coverage, but he's never been a traditional wide receiver.
Stoddy, there you go.
Like, he doesn't, you know what I mean? How long has it been since Debo's been used as just, like, regular wide receiver? Like, go split out, run around.
It feels like a minute. It feels like forever.
Long time. Ever since the year that they rallied and went 10-7 and beat the Rams in the last game of the regular season and made the playoffs and ended up in the NFC title game where they lost to the Rams. The year the Rams beat, like, he's been used as, I don't even know how to describe it, you know, wing back, wide receiver, yep, running back, whatever, like, ever since then. So, you know, I don't know, man. And 6.5 touches down to 6, and you could argue it would still be 6.5 if he would catch the balls that were thrown to him.
Well,
it's not that he's not getting the ball. It's that he's not going anywhere when he gets it. And I'm actually on his side that that's not mainly on him. I don't think he's lost a step. I think there are a confluence of factors as to why his plays have not gone anywhere. But I'm with you that I don't find going to Twitter about it productive at all.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ-FM and HD1 San Francisco, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. Yeah, we had Mike Martz on at 1 o'clock, former St. Louis Rams coach, and we were talking to him for a while, and then I asked him something about Purdy, and he goes, well, I'm dancing around the subject, but the real issue with the Niners has been their offensive line.
That's what he said.
I mean, that's kind of what he was getting at, and he was just saying how, you know, that's the one position group that impacts everything, every single thing. And if there's something not going, you know, the offensive line isn't having a great season, it's going to affect Purdy, which it has. And then it's going to affect the receivers, which it has.
And they look great against Chicago, and poof, look what happened. Barely threw any incompletions.
But am I the only one that can honestly say, watching the game again because I was at home, he called and dialed different stuff up I had not seen this year, Kyle.
Yep.
Is that just me, or like it looked different? And that's why Stoudy and I were battling. He'll never adjust or do it. Like it looked, there was some difference to the screens. The kid, like, okay, give us more of that, maybe.
The screens to Kittle, absolutely. And the one play I'm going to ask Greg Cosell about is the pass to Garendo, when it looked like that Brock Purdy changed the play, or he alternated the play. Altered at the line of scrimmage, and then Garendo leaks out. And that's a play, actually, where Debo was wide open on the left side.
Oh.
But it was man coverage, and Brock sees Garendo on a linebacker, and he waits, and he threw that high kind of alley-oop lob pass down the sideline. It was underthrown, whatever, but he found Garendo in man coverage, and that's one where, if you're Debo, you're thinking, dude, he was wide open. Like, Debo had room to cook.
It out.
But at the same time, Garendo got, 45 yards in that play, or whatever it was?
Basically, the same play they ran for McCaffrey a couple weeks earlier.
Yeah, a little bit of a wheel route.
Against Tampa.
Yeah, exactly. You sent him out in that little wheel route.
Did he throw a little block first, though?
I don't know if he chipped somebody or not there, Mark.
Call it a wheel route to Cosell in hopes that he's going to absolutely destroy you.
And he's missed you because you ain't been in the last couple times.
It's not a wheel route.
What's funny is I actually didn't do the notes this week because your boy was down. I've been down and out since last week. And so even though I rewatched it, I didn't get a chance to sit down and do all my notes. So I'm coming in a little bit as a novice.
He's missed
today.
You, though.
Anything could happen.
He had Grandy last time. They did a good job, but he missed you.
He took Grandy behind the woodshed, you know.
And 2 weeks ago, last week, he took Willard behind the woodshed.
I'm
not going to say it was on purpose, but I threw something at him, and I knew that he was going to spike it because I brought up money.
Oh, geez.
I was like, why is Debo getting paid like that? If he's just he basically called him a product of the system. He said about Debo what we've been, people have accused Brock Purdy of. Why the hell is he making so much money then, Greg?
Oh, he doesn't deal with that.
What did he say?
I was like Draymond with the night. I blacked out. I don't know what he said.
You
should have one every interview where you just kind of bait him a little with some wrong information just to see. You know what I mean? Just to see.
Or ask him
something that he what does he say? I don't know why people do what they do. I can just tell you what they do.
I can just tell you what I see on the film. Right.
What do you think's going on? What was he thinking on this throw, Greg?
Exactly. And the other one is, what was the play design? Like, was the play designed to go here? Well, I'm not in the meetings. I'm not in the meeting room.
Here's a question I think I want to throw at him today. Do you think Kyle Shanahan's play calls will work with the Bears? Greg, your thoughts.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's mine for today. We're going to do it.
Radio.
We're going to do it.
Yeah, pretty fun. Always pretty fun.
You want it out there. This is
interesting.
Does
everybody want it? Okay, listen.
Goo, you're going to love this.
Yeah, if you're driving around, I'm going to give you a 3 count to stop, drop, and listen, okay? Someone's talking to you. Tell them to shut up. 3, 2, 1. LeBron James is not with the Lakers.
Wait, what?
LeBron James is not with the Lakers.
Has he been traded?
Not to our knowledge, but he is not in practice. He is not with the team. He is also, quote, unknown for the Lakers game on Friday, which is still 48 hours away.
That is really shocking.
He is, quote, taking some time.
That was from J.J. Redick.
That's from J.J. Here's the actual quote. LeBron is not with the team right now.
Whoa.
He's out for personal reasons, excused absence. J.J. was unclear if he'd be back Friday and then later stated, quote, he's taking some time.
So he's sending a message because he's not missing any games. They don't have any.
What do you think? What do you think is happening?
I think he's such a narcissist that he's just letting everybody know he's upset with what the Lakers are doing. He took a horrible shot last Friday. Well, Pops and I watched it at Chase. So I think this is a nothing burger, but it's up his road of, hey, everybody, the king is mad. Do something.
If I had a bet, I would bet on you. I think that's right. But I'll do the hot take. He's going to retire. He's going to retire. That would be my hot take.
He's going to retire.
Can I give you a follow-up quote?
He knows he stinks now.
Their backup, ESPN was able to track down the Lakers' backup center for this quote. Okay.
Who, Robert Sacre?
No, Christian...
Robert Sacre.
Coloco. Oh. Yeah, Christian Coloco. I mean, we already know he knows everything. He's going to come back, and he's still going to be the same. He's going to give everything on the court. Listen to this. We've just got to do our part and just get better so that when he comes back, he can look at us and be like, oh, yeah, they were actually working when he wasn't there.
Yeah.
But we know he'll come back and just pick everything up. He's been in the NBA for a long time.
This is, I'll say this. This is a shot to his teammates because none of them are playing D. But to me, it's worse than J.J. Redick. Year one, not even halfway through, he's pulling this move unless you guys talk behind the scenes. I just think it looks bad for J.J., man.
It looks bad for the entire organization, which, you know, LeBron has largely held hostage since he got there. And that's the way that goes. And, you know, he kind of forced them to draft his son.
Right.
His son, who averaged about 2 points a game at USC. And I'm rounding up.
The other night.
And he's just, I mean, his son is not an NBA player, yet he wanted to make history. And I called this about 5 years ago that this would happen. And then it did happen. And it's like, man, you forced your organization to use draft capital to draft your son. Thank you. And your son wasn't even good enough to start for a mediocre USC team. And now he's a Laker. So this comes as no surprise to me.
Willard, you trying to make a Warrior angle? I see your work.
I'm trying to make. I don't have to. It's already been made by Brian Windhorst every day this week. So listen, this is how I look at it. As opposed to any other player in the NBA or any trade, this happens if LeBron wants it to. That's how trades work for him. That's how everything works for him. Like I had this quote one time. I didn't get the quote, but an NBA reporter told me that they received the quote directly from LeBron's agent, and this was when one of the free agency things was happening, like before the decision or whatever, and everyone wanted to know where LeBron was going to play, and the agent said, LeBron will play wherever LeBron wants to play. Any team that he says he wants to go there will figure out a way to make it happen. Let's be honest, if he wanted to play in Vegas, the NBA would make a team in Vegas.
Wow.
He does what he wants. He's got that kind of juice. So he's got a full no trade clause, as we know.
Yeah.
The only way this comes up is if he wants it to. And the fact that he's saying all this and then he leaves the team.
He's not with
pride. I mean.
Well, to that point, I'm looking at a tweet from Basketball Reference from yesterday. And they said, here's a look at which Basketball Reference player page had the most views in each state in 2024. And LeBron James has the most player views in 48 of 50 states in the USA. There are only two states where other players have more views than LeBron James. One of them is Colorado.
Okay.
One of them is Massachusetts. Who would those players be? Scott, da da da.
Interesting. Oh, I'll tell you what I'm going to do.
Jokic and Tatum.
And here's what I'm going to do.
Jokic and Tatum. Look at it.
He just ruined it.
My man.
I didn't know I was supposed to wait.
No, you can do whatever you want. And it's Jokic and Tatum.
It's something like that we don't do enough of in this society.
Yep.
And it's give the benefit of the doubt. I think as fans of the Golden State Warriors, we know that sometimes guys have personal stuff going on that's bigger than the game.
For sure.
I think we should let LeBron James have his time, and we'll find out that there's something more serious than basketball going on.
But I hear you, but this is not. If you watch that Atlanta game Friday, which they blew, he is mad at how his team is playing around. Like the King, you're beneath
him. Well, if he's taking time off because he thinks that the team's not good enough, that's a joke.
But it's a scare. I mean, like, you guys go practice and then off-season.
No, that's a bridge too far
for
me.
You're right. I'm with you. But that's what it is, Willard.
Contemplating his future.
Yeah.
Ensuring that he doesn't ruin a trade by snapping a ligament.
They've done everything for you, and this is how you pay him back?
That's what he's done with every organization he's ever played for. I don't think he doesn't look at it that way, and I actually support him in that. I like the whole, like, the organization does something for you.
Yeah.
Well, I'm pretty sure he does a lot for the organization.
And that's
too.
Why Curry's like, you know what I mean? Miss me with how much I've gotten paid. Like, I done made Joe. Come on now.
I don't look at take Curry and the Warriors. Does anybody owe anything to the other party? Is that out of balance, what the Warriors have given Curry and what Curry has given the Warriors? Is it out of balance to you?
No, I feel like there's something on the debit card towards Curry to get him some immediate help.
Well, that's
to see
fine.
If it works.
I just mean with whatever,
draft picks you waste, but
whatever
still
they've done in the last 13 years. Okay. Like it has no, one side easy. Quote no, no. done, you know what I mean?
Well, no, I think Curry's done more for Joe.
You may be right, but my point is I think both of them have done everything that they can do. Right? Like they've both held up their end of the bargain.
Yeah. I would agree with that. The only people that would disagree would be saying, well, Lakeham still makes 50 times more than Steph Curry, but that's just the nature.
Well, it's interesting when you make that point because the word came out about Shohei Ohtani and how much money he made the Dodgers, even though they're paying him whatever a year. He made them $120 million last year in Japan and South Korea and international revenue. So even though you're paying him whatever, 70 or I don't even know what the number
really.
Is.
Two.
Yeah.
You're going to pay him that much. But the point is, even if you gave him $100 million in cold hard cash, it still is worth it because he's generating more than that.
And I think we're going to find that out, the same thing out with Willie Adames. I mean, he is going to make this organization.
But this is a weak move. Barkley, they're going to kill him tonight.
All right. What move?
What Bron's
the Adames
himself.
Oh, the Bron thing. Okay.
Taking his toys and going home until you guys get better.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see how it plays out.
Press conference tomorrow for Willie Adames.
Yes, sir. We're going to take it. Tomorrow. We're taking it live. We're taking it live
are
right
we?
Here. On We are, yeah, because it's on our show. Greg Cosell, don't go anywhere. Must Hear Radio. Willard and Dibs in the house on 95.6.